Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. As you know, this show is sponsored by reclaimingtherepublic.org as well as republicreview.org. And as you've been getting a very good dose this week, this show is really about the solution in getting the federal government and what it takes to do that. It's not a bunch of people going out in the street and protesting. The people that have to protest, it actually isn't even just a an anarchical type of action by Congress. It is a direct and resolved action from several of the state legislatures. And I'm not just talking about legislators, I'm talking about the entire body of state legislatures that are gathered together in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution. It's really that simple. I guess I might be making it a little more difficult than it probably should be. But this is where you're going to find out those details and the simplicity of it. Remember, we've got a listen number. If you can't listen to the entire show and you have to get on the move, the cell phone number or the number to dial in to listen to this show is 605-562-4209. Now, coming up, I'm expecting to be able to do a follow-up interview with Dr. Vile, John R. Vile, and I'm hoping that we can kind of get into the militia and all of that, because I truly believe that there's a lot of things that are hidden behind the fact that the militia was underrepresented and marginalized and pushed aside. But we'll find out. Maybe I'm wrong. But we will also be doing a follow-up interview, probably not this week, but probably within the next week or two, with Aaron Tilbury regarding human trafficking, and more specifically sex slaves and sex trafficking within the United States and how it moves, you know, about and so forth. Anyway, let me kind of dive into the real quick how you can help if you want to get involved, which you're more than welcome to get involved. If you want to be a leader for your county and state and so forth, just send me an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. I will also ask that you consider, you know, looking at potential opportunities to run. We are looking to get behind and support good constitutional candidates. Just because you want to make some money, just because you need a job, that doesn't mean we're going to support you. We need people to understand very specifically what the problems are and what we need to do as a republic and what you need to do as a leader working in within that republic. So let me just ask you, if you want to learn about what you can do and what you're willing to do, then send us an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic. I will ask you to also, if you want to support the show, we offer Red State Coffee. And if you go to reclaimingtherepublic.org, you can actually take the link to eBay, and that is where you can buy what I would consider some real premium coffee. And it sounds like some windows opened up somewhere. Those were not windows to heaven, I will tell you that much. Anyway, let me keep moving on. We also have the crowdfunding with GoFundMe. That link is on the reclaimingtherepublic.org website as well. I would ask you to go to constitutionclub.ning.com and go sign up there and get involved, and you can start working with Keith Broders and company in doing a lot of good things and a lot of good information and learning with that website and that domain. And as you play around with it, you'll realize that it is almost like a social media page. I mean, the way you can network and resource and so forth. Anyway, one other effort site or what have you, ourfirstright.org. Go check them out. They're trying to get the other Madison amendment that still has not been ratified, a good, worthy cause. So with that, let me kind of dive also forward, because there's a couple more things I need to tell you about. As you know, there is Constitution Day. What are you doing? Let us know. We'd love to plug it for you. We also want to thank you for tuning in, because we realize that that is the base level of support. Just by tuning in, you're at least getting the messages. Final announcement, Red Pill Expo, June 8th, 9th, and it starts on the 7th. So 7th, 8th, and 9th, and it's in Hartford, Connecticut. If you can get there, you will be very happy, especially if you attend the VIP meetings and so forth. But if you cannot, then you should probably look into streaming and the opportunity with all of that. And with that, let me make one correction from yesterday. I made a comment that the states actually established the original salary, which that isn't correct. Congress actually was and has had the ability to, pay themselves, so to speak. The pay did not come from the states. It actually came out of the Treasury. Now, with that, if you look at the stipends or the salary that they made back then, and as it grew a little bit and a little bit and a little bit, it has been very modest until as of late. But I'm telling you, if you really look at what they're being paid, a congressperson is being paid, I don't have a problem with the salary. I don't. As a matter of fact, I think that maybe the salary is a little low. I will just say this, that they shouldn't get a retirement, and they shouldn't have protection with insider trading and all of that. Madison, in his congressional tenure, he actually saw people taking insider trading, speculations and so forth, buying bonds and buying debt and so forth from soldiers. And he saw how people took advantage of that on the inside. There needs to be a mechanism to keeping Congress from being able to do that. It's against the law. If anybody did it, then they would be arrested. But it seems like they're above the law, which they're really not. We just have to hold them accountable. And the first step in holding them accountable is holding them accountable to the Constitution, which is Republic Review, which is why we're going through all of that right here. And that's why we're going through that today. And so the process has been so far going through the argument. So yesterday and the day before, Monday and Tuesday, we went through the argument. Today, we're actually going to be going through the Republic Review model, or the flow of Republic Review. Well, somebody opened up another window. And again, that was not a window from heaven. Anyway, got some tech work going on in here, so please bear with us. And anywho, the first item, which is identifying the initial goal. The initial goal is obtaining one state and a majority in that one state of state legislators in both House and in the Senate. So you got the representatives and the senators, except for Nebraska. And anyway, so what we want is to get a majority of the state legislatures that are in a single House body, whether that be two houses or the single House, the unicameral, the bicameral or the unicameral, to call for Republic Review, acknowledging the requirement to initiate the audit portion of the Republic Review process. So the target conservative legislators to learn the founding principles of republicanism. So that's what we have to do, is we've got to target these conservatives or anybody that says they're for liberty, and get them to learn about the founding principles of republicanism and the separation of powers between the states and the general government through the irrefutable argument for Republic Review. Once they understand the concept that the contract, the Constitution is a contract, it's hard and limited, the only way to change it is through the Article 5 process and so forth, all the things I went through Monday and Tuesday, get them to fathom that process. Once they understand the premise of the audit, they also need to learn what and why Madison and Jefferson attempted to conduct Republic Review in 1798, which will then help them realize and actualize their role, authority, and power of corrective oversight over the Constitution. As they do, the leading legislators in the premise will begin working on draft resolutions to call for an audit of the Constitution against the general government. They will also create a resolution calling upon sibling states to join them in the audit to conduct Republic Review. So far, there hasn't been a single shot across the bow to Congress. There hasn't been any reach out to the federal government to say, hey, take warning. This is all about getting organized and one initiating to come up with the definitive list of all the unconstitutional roles, responsibilities, and powers and things that the federal government has done. And so what is that? What are some of those things? Because there's the obvious offices and so forth that, and the departments. I mean, that's obvious. But what about some of these rulings, right? What about some of the things that the court has done, such as Roe v. Wade, or such as homosexual marriage or health care? Can the court actually make things constitutional? Well, we'll have to answer that when we come back. And so we'll be right back after two promos. Thank you so much.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcasts and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Moby Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Moby Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their Constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue.
And so, as I was going into, right when we were going into break, are these rulings from the court actual laws? Well, no. There's no legislative authority granted to the Supreme Court. And that's the same thing with the executive. Any executive order that creates a law is unconstitutional. Sorry, even if Trump goes and creates some really nice laws that everybody likes, he doesn't have the power or authority to do that. sorry, we need to abide by the entire Constitution. And that means we need to get the Congress back under in check and back into control. And the only way to do that, again, is with the state legislators. And so as these things go forward, and as I basically said, they will also, so let me reread that last bullet. As they do, leading legislators in the premise will begin working on draft resolutions to call for an audit of the Constitution against the general government. They will also create a resolution calling upon sibling states to join them in the audit to conduct republic review. These resolutions should be inclusive of all identified unconstitutional roles, responsibilities, and powers. Once a comprehensive resolution with all violations has been passed by both houses, this resolution is promulgated to fellow states that would be receptive to fulfilling their obligation of protecting the Constitution and the Republic first. So one of the things that I need to, one of the things I really need to point out here is that abiding by the Constitution is not just a responsibility for state legislators and Congress or the president, the Supreme Court. Anybody who raises their arm to the square, takes an oath, they are complied, or they are obligated to comply with the Constitution. In most cases, that state government is both constitutions, not just the U.S. Constitution and the state constitution. They have to abide by both. Now, you understand, republic review is just getting the federal government back into alignment and actually getting the state governments back into alignment with the U.S. Constitution. That doesn't mean that there shouldn't be a state republic review type of thing. And as a matter of fact, I believe that's exactly the path that Bob Schultz is going down. And I've worked with a lot of other people that want to do the exact same thing. I mean, I'm on a tangent here, so let me just bear with me here. If you understand that we need compliance to the constitutions, it's going to be applicable to both. As I sit down and I talk to people about the magnitude of violations against the Constitution, both state and federal, what happens if your federal, or I should say, if your state constitution is violated so much that your state goes defunct? I mean, it literally collapses because nobody's abiding by it. And, you know, it just fails. They go bankrupt, what have you. But like California and some of these other states are going down that path. What happens? Does the whole world shift? Does it tilt on its axis? Or is it one of those things that, you know, we'll survive that? And I'm telling you, we will survive that. But if the U.S. Constitution and the federal government fails, it's over. And that's what I try to impress upon people, because there's a lot of people that want to go down the path of, well, let's worry about the state now. No. As a matter of fact, why would you worry about the fire that can't harm you, like the fire, you know, in your candle holder, when you have a big, huge forest fire on the other side of that ridge going to get ready to bear down upon you because of prevailing winds or what have you? That fire will consume you and it will leave nothing but scorched earth. And that's what happens when we do not abide by the U.S. Constitution and it fails. So anyway, let me back up to a strategic bullet here again. And so that's why we need to get all of these who are fulfilling their oaths to getting them into protecting the Constitution and the Republic first. There you go. The Republic and the Constitution is their first priority. Focusing on red states, this is what we're trying to do. Focusing on red states are those states with a desire to enforce the Constitution is done first to allow momentum to develop. Proponents for auditing the Constitution. Now, you got to understand that a part of this resolution, remember going up the stack of this model, the state is calling upon other states. So what they're doing is they're focusing on red states or those states with the desire to enforce the Constitution. So they're going to start working with them first. If you've got 50 people, you need to treat, you know, let me guess here. Not articulate. Let me articulate this a little better. If you've got 50 people and there's going to be, they're all in an aircraft and we're going to have a problem, turbulence, cabin pressure is going to be gone, no oxygen. You have to get at least enough people to understand, to pull the mask, put them on their face so that they can start saving other people. The idiots, those people that weren't paying attention, that don't know and do not understand anything, well, we're going to have to leave them alone first. We're going to have to kind of leave them to their own, you know, destiny, but we'll come back and save them. And that's why I'm telling people in the blue states, don't worry, the red states will save you. Just give them the time to get anchored and get established with Republic Review. So that's why this first state that stands up needs to focus on red states or those states with a desire to enforce the Constitution. So moving on, proponents for auditing the Constitution and calling for Republic Review in each of the legislative bodies must build a coalition. So let's say you happen to be in the number one state has stood up and you happen to be in, you know, one of the three states that are likely to stand up and join. You're a proponent and you are building a coalition amongst your legislators in getting them to do what needs to be done. You have to build a coalition within the state's bicameral legislative bodies to obtain a majority to pass legislation to conduct the audit and call for Republic Review, just like the first state did. Then you get that state on board. And now that state is working in tandem with state number one and maybe two, three, four. Before you know it, we'll have 13, we'll have 18, we'll have 20. Eventually, we will churn this away to where it... I really believed that had we had somebody's influence, like, you know, just go out there, because this is in my second book. If Glenn Beck would have got behind this, we could have easily had such momentum with his mechanism, his organization, everything he had at his fingertips. We could easily be in a position of working on our 20-something state right now, easily. Easily. Even though I know it takes a couple of years to turn over your state legislature, it's a 2-year cycle, right? So what we have to do is we have to start getting ready in some of these states to getting challengers to replace these bad legislators who are corrupt, who do not want to see Republic Review or do not want to see the Constitution saved. They're just looking for their next opportunity to move up the political pegs. So anyway, again, let me get back to, you know, working with, so the next phase is working with grassroots organizations in that state. So as you're working and building the coalition, you start working with grassroots organizations. Fundamentally, that's the party. There are other grassroots organizations, but fundamentally, that is the party. And you need to start working with them and you need to start calling them out. If the party is the problem, if it's the elephant in the room, then let's identify the elephant in the room as the party. That's a play on words, isn't it? Anyway, if necessary, these legislators will need to work with the state and county parties, in other words, the Constitution, GOP, or Libertarian parties, central committees, and grassroots organizations such as the Oath Keepers and other organizations like that, and set up constitutional committees of correspondence and a PAC in each state dedicated to demanding compliance to the Constitution to apply pressure on the state legislative districts to get their fellow legislators to fulfill their oath or replace them. Get them to do their job in protecting their citizens from federal tyranny, or have these organizations work in replacing these legislators with one who will fulfill their oath of service. That's the key meat right there, my friends. What we have to do is we need to start working a bench. And if you don't, if you're one of those people, that's what I'm telling you. Go sign up, get involved, start working with us. If you want to be that bench, then we'll help you. We'll show what you need to do. And it's not hard. All you have to do is have the desire to serve. And that's what we're out to do. And so I believe that if we are moving forward with you, then it's a lot better than dragging people along. The resistance is, it brings you down, right? We can't tow everybody. So we need other people to get on board with this so that we can actually get it moving. And I'm at a hard break. So that's a good timing because we're ready to go into the next bullet once we get a single state on board. So what do we do once we get a single state on board? And we'll be right back with that information right after this. Thank you so much. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.
To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Okay, so once a single state obtains a majority of support within the two legislative bodies, they must first, finalize a state resolution and pass a single, concise, and succinct final resolution to call for the state to audit the Constitution. They need to pass necessary administrative measures to, 1, research and identify all federal offices, agencies, bureaus, centers, commissions, councils, administration services, departments, etc., etc., etc. Every type of government entity of the federal government out there. And 2, initiate a full audit of the Constitution within the state's legislative bodies, either by committee or then by the body of the whole. Right? They have two different types of bodies. They got a committee, a body of the committee, a subcommittee, and or a body of the whole. Like that's what they call it when they have the entire, it's on the floor of the legislature and all the legislators are involved. It seems to me that it would be best to do this by a committee. Anyway, so the next step that they then take is simultaneously in the initiation of doing the research and initiating the audit, identify what all these things are that they're going to audit, then audit them. They need to also initiate the initiation of the audit. This state must, one, initiate and build coalitions with other states. So they're simultaneously initiating a coalition with other states as they send out this resolution and start drafting a resolution. Kind of ahead of myself, but they're writing this resolution to all the states in the Republic to coalesce with them to conduct this Republic review. So you want to start building a coalition with people that you know in these other states and getting them to start recognizing, hey, we need to get on board with this. That way you have a quicker response for the next state, the next state, and the next state. If you're reaching into 5, 6, 10 states and leaders within those states who consider themselves to be the real constitutional leaders, then there you go. You're a step ahead of the game. And that's what we're really trying to do in a couple of these states, is getting them to start talking with each other, actually working, collaborating, cross-pollinating, whatever you want to call it. And so this is what's going on. They're actually doing this first state has finally stood up. We've got one state. Our first goal has been obtained. And so now this state is commencing the audit, doing the research, and then auditing, and also creating one coalitions and calling upon and sending out these resolutions out to each of the states and what they should do. Because technically, if you understand, so we're a little ahead of the game with this first resolution. This first resolution isn't identifying all of the infractions. It basically says we believe that we're under a mountain of infractions. That's what this first resolution is. The final resolution is exactly what Jefferson did in 1798 when he identified every infraction of the Constitution in each of the four acts that were passed by Congress and signed by the president. Okay, I just want to be clear. It's not the final resolution, but they have to start building the coalition and sending the resolution saying, hey, we've recognized that we're living under federal tyranny that is so bad, you know, we can taste it, and we need you to start working with us and getting ready to calling out the federal government. This is a big thing. Join us, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so the next part of the process, this is in red text on the website, so you can go there and look at this. It says, note, in order to send a clear message of Constitution enforcement, the following step is highly recommended: that any and all states joining in the audit for Republic review withdraw or rescind their application for an Article 5 convention. They can always reapply again. There is no quota or expiration to these applications. In other words, they can rescind one and do another one. They're not held to, oh, well, you can only do one, or only one a year. So the point is that we want to send a very clear message of constitutional enforcement. We're not trying to fix and or change the contract. We want the contract complied with. So if a state passing a resolution to join in the audit and a Republic review, which possesses an active petition to Congress for an Article 5 convention, then the legislator should also pass a resolution or bill rescinding this application from Congress. The initial state, now this is the big part right here. This is what I said yesterday, or maybe it was, I think it was yesterday. The initial state commences the audit and sets the decorum for the process. What does this mean? It is important that the first state initiating Republic review establish the decorum for new states to join by requiring them to rescind their application for an Article 5 convention prior to joining. And there you have it. Anybody that wants to say that Republic review, anybody that tells you that Republic Review is a portal or a, you know, a side door to the Article 5 convention doesn't know what they're talking about. You may want to just kind of pat them on the back and say, yeah, yeah, okay, yeah, here, thanks. Why don't you go get yourself a cookie and go sit down, you know, and take it easy, right? Stay out of the sun for a little while. Moving on. The second step in this process is establish a research committee to verify every role, responsibility, and power is either in compliance with the Constitution or a violation of the Constitution. Now, I can tell you, you can go online to all of the agencies and departments from A to Z of the federal government, and there's like 600 and some odd. That's a good place to start, if you ask me. But as you start going through them, you have to start doing research to determine whether they are actually in compliance. And I'm going to tell you right now, once you've done the research on understanding what is in compliance and what isn't in compliance, you'll be able to look at this committee, this administration, this office, or what have you, and go, no, are you kidding me? How's that in compliance? Where is that in the Constitution? And so there is a body of work, but once you've kind of, it's like creating that pathway in the snow. Once one person has kind of created that path, it gets a little easier and a little easier. And before you know it, once you've got about 10 people moving through that path, it is almost like a highway. I mean, the resistance of walking through the snow gets easier and easier. Now, you got to remember that what happens when you're walking on compacted snow, it gets slippery. So fortunately, we're not really walking in snow. We're just using that as a metaphor of the resistance of the learning process and so forth for those people that like to get literal, such as myself. Anyway, what they have to do is they have to confirm that the only authorized process within the Constitution for the general government to assume any new role, responsibility, and power is through the constitutional amendment process. That's called the Article 5 process. So what they have to do is they have to confirm that that is still really the only legitimate way the federal government can assume any new role, responsibility, and power, and ensuring that the states did not ratify a constitutional amendment authorizing an alternate process for such as the Supreme Court or the President or Congress to amend the Constitution exclusively, or did the state amend the Constitution to allow the general government or any of the branches thereof to bypass the Article 5 process without the state's authority. I know that's a mouthful, and I know it's a little tongue-in-cheek, sardonic tone, you know, but you got to say this. You actually have to put this in here because there's people that think, oh, well, you know, they've been doing it for a long time. Why can't we just accept that? I mean, we've accepted it for 100 years. It's a contract. And there's only one way to make it legitimate within the contract. Not by doing it by 100 years. There's nothing in the contract that says, hey, if we can fool you for 100 years, then as far as we're concerned, it's a legitimate thing. Nope, sorry. Would you accept a contract that says that? If I can fool you for a couple of days, then it becomes legitimate? It's the same thing. Because you are an entity and you have a lifespan. You have to understand the states are an entity as well, and they're perpetual. They don't die. So one day to the state is the same thing as 200 years to the state. It's still the state. It's still its contract. It's just a matter of the lapsing of time or how much time is compressed or opened. The point of the fact is that there is no other mechanism to legitimately give the federal government the ability to do anything other than going through a amendment process. So the next bullet is, if the constitutional amendment process is still the only valid process, then establish a list of all federal offices, agencies, bureaus, centers, commissions, councils, administration services, and departments, and all other entities funded by the general government. So you've just created this list. create a list of all constitutionally authorized RRPs. I'm going to have to finish this mouthful when we come back, because bottom line, now that you know that they're the only way to actually give the federal government the power is through the amendment process, now we can start actually defining what are all the violations. So we're slowly, methodically working through this audit process. So we'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. So the reason I put this in here is just to make sure that everybody is completely aware that there is only one way still to change the Constitution for the federal government to legitimately do anything. Just because they want to pass an act like the Civil Rights Act does not make that the constitutional law of the land. The only thing that would make the Civil Rights Act the law of the land is by giving them an amendment. Now, I think we would be far better off leaving that to the states and letting the states amend their constitution in establishing a Civil Rights Act, and letting the states actually get called out for those who are oppressive and or overly protective of one over, because that's exactly what's happening today. The homosexual movement has hijacked the Civil Rights Act, and it's almost like they've been enslaved for 5,000 years themselves. Anyway, just let me move forward here. Ensure, so the next step, now that we know that there's no other way of amending the Constitution, and that's what got me down this tangent of the Civil Rights Act, ensure that the constitutional amendment process was either followed or violated in the establishment of the Treasury, State, and War Departments and the General Accounting Office. And then, moving on, obtain official and formal confirmation from Congress as to whether each RRP, other than those, is in compliance or violates the Constitution because the constitutional amendment process was not filed. So this is where you have to now start sending communications to Congress and asking them to confirm that they have received an amendment in the establishment of this process that is not found within the Constitution, this role, responsibility, or power, not process. Did Congress forward an amendment for ratification by the states, or ratification by the states for the RRP, for this new RRP, let's say the Department of Agriculture, and receive formal ratification documentation from the requisite required states? Did they get an amendment from the required states at that point in time when they created the Department of Agriculture? If they didn't, then it's a violation and it needs to go. Same thing with the Department of Labor. Same thing with the Department of Commerce. You got to understand, the Treasury Department managed all commerce because it was just about taxation. It was about taxing the specific excise taxes and or commerce coming in and imposing imposts upon that. Anyway, the next bullet is, did the states properly ratify this new role, responsibility, and power by the codified process of each state? In other words, in each state, there's that word again, codified, each state has a systematic process of how they're to do that. Whether they do that, let's say the amendment comes in right after the election or right before the election, and they don't have time, they're not in session, they're out, campaigning and everything else, do they have to convene a special session to ratify the amendment, or do they just wait till the new legislatures and senators for the state are seated in the houses, their respective houses? If that makes sense, they have to verify whatever that systematic process is in the states of handling amendments when they come through. Did they follow that? Or, because you're going to find, why is this important? Why would I have this in here? Because Mr. Bill Benson pointed out that Oregon was one of the states that actually refused to seat the newly appointed or newly elected because of the amendment. The constituents actually voted in new people that did not want that amendment ratified, and actually they kept those people in their seats to, after the election and after the new session started, those people actually took their seats and voted and ratified the amendment, and then they swore in the newly elected people. So that's a shenanigan that proves that a very particular amendment did not, it was in violation of the codified process for the state. And so that's why we have to actually audit the amendments themselves to verify that we're dealing with real amendments that were properly followed, because way back when, with Mr. Wilson being president, and I'm not talking about Dennis the Menace, Mr. Wilson, I'm talking about the world menace, Woodrow Wilson. Anyway, he actually bypassed, and there's really great evidence out there, and America is going to wake up to this process, that the 17th and the 16th Amendments were probably, and we will confirm whether they were actually ratified or not. So that means personal and direct taxation of income tax goes away, as well as the election of our senators, that will go back to each state. And so the sub-bullet to this is, each state will have to confirm the veracity of each ratification in compliance to the states and the United States Constitutions of the time of ratification. So we want to make sure that what we're playing with is really the real rules of engagement, right? So the next sub-bullet is, if not, the general government usurp the role responsibilities in question and are in violation to the Constitution. All violations are then moved forward to the role responsibility and power disposition phase of republic review, which that just happens to be coming up. And so as new states, because you got to remember, that you need to have so many states before the next phase can really come on board. And that's why the real holdup when these new states come on board is that they're going to have to do all of these little audits themselves. Like they're going to have to audit their own amendment ratification process. They're going to have to audit all of these little things. They should be able to just rubber stamp what the first or the first few states have already confirmed, that all these federal agencies are violations. All of these court rulings are violations. All of these executive orders are violations. These are not legitimate laws. They're not within the Constitution. They have to be wiped away. And so, as like I said, as the new states join in into the audit and republic review process, each must begin establishing secure communications, networking, and architecture for online collaborative environment that is designed with full availability and redundancy. We do not want the federal government hacking into our state computers and systems to actually bring us down and or to intervene and or collude with other evildoers and players like globalist corporations and so forth in stopping the shutting down of an unconstitutional runaway federal government. Each state must be able to function as an island as well as part of the whole online republic, ensuring of full redundancy and synchronization and merging of information, maintaining full configuration management of all data within each state. That's pretty critical, especially if you understand systems engineering, that type of stuff. We want to make sure that we have all the data saved redundantly and so forth, because we want to make sure that we have all the facts there, you know, consolidated together and ready to put at the feet of the people to show exactly how far out of alignment the federal government has gotten. And not the Constitution, it's the people occupying all of these offices that have been created by other people. The Constitution is still, I'll just say it, I believe it's a perfect artifact. There is nothing wrong with the Constitution. Thus, we do not need to amend the Constitution at this point in time. Let's first go down this path of obtaining the necessary compliance and getting people to do their doggone jobs, and that's it, instead of letting them self-aggrandize. Each state joining Republic Review must continue to research and verify compliance and violations to ensure full integrity of all work by each state's accuracy is paramount. And that's the final word on this bullet. Accuracy is paramount. We do not want to ever, you know, have somebody historically come, you know, behind us and say, you know what? They messed up. They didn't do what they were supposed to do. We want, when we close the books on this, that is it. We will have set the standard and we'll have been able to completely reset our constitutional republic back onto the Constitution as it was designed by the framers and as it was intended by the framers and as they all asserted as their inspiration by the divine hand of providence. And so one begets the other that begets. And so we will be on the path and as designed by the divine hand of providence. Now, the next step is, you know, I don't have time to get into this, so we've got a ways to go. We will cover more of this tomorrow. So we definitely want to bring you back in. So we'll probably be repeating. I'll have to repeat a little bit of this. But I think you're going to find that this is all fascinating how we can do this. This is all within the power of the states, my friends. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the republic, and we need your help. God bless.
The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved and supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of Liberty.